Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
Today, we're going to talk about burnout, how to identify it and how to treat it. And we see it in our clients, unfortunately, pretty regularly.
And
try to help them identify it, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
So there's a new book out, and it's called Burnout, The Secret to Solving the Stress. Looks like it's two sisters that wrote it, Emily and Amelia Nagoski. So there's an article about it, which I think is pretty interesting. But you want to identify first what burnout is, right?
Sure. So burnout is also, from another article in Zeti, the online publication, by a fellow named Tom Gerentzer. The definition for burnout is that it's the result of prolonged work-related stress, and it's a mix of exhaustion, cynicism, and ineffectiveness.
Ugh.
And what's interesting is that burnout victims get both emotionally and physically exhausted. So it's that combination that distinguishes it from just regular exhaustion. And therefore, it comes with symptoms that are behavioral as well as physical, right? So you're going to feel physically and emotionally exhausted. You may sleep, but you don't feel rested. You may have insomnia. You may feel depressed. You may be cynical, which is interesting, and sarcastic. And we've seen people who become paranoid. You're probably very irritable. And you have a sense that nothing you do is going to solve your work problems. Generally speaking, someone who's in burnout feels overwhelmed and isolated and is not productive. By the time you hit burnout, you're no longer able to be productive. You have trouble focusing. You may be impatient. You may be apathetic. You may be confused and spaced out and have trouble communicating effectively. And most of all, I think you... just have a feeling of dread when it comes to work. And anger can come with it as well. We've seen angry, burned out people before.
Anybody relating
sounds
to
like
that?
Lovely people person to work with.
Well, they seem to find their way here sometimes.
Well, and the irony is that usually the people who burn out are the ones who care too much. It's not that they don't care about work. It's that they care too much and that they feel that they feel overwhelmed by their workload and they lack the resources they need to manage it. And so over time, it creates this depletion that is both emotional and physical.
Running on empty.
Running on fumes, exactly.
And they get sick, I think.
Usually, you may have a lot of illness, exactly. The other thing is you may be self-medicating. And so you could be burnt out and you find yourself drinking excessively and you find yourself eating excessively and you find yourself shopping excessively. Whatever is your go-to for, quote, stress reduction may then become something that you use in an extreme measure to self-medicate.
So I'm a little depressed hearing that. But, so they, in this book, they talk about, you know, they say it's scientifically, it's been proven that we need 40% of our life to be made up of rest. And they don't say that it has to happen in a day or a week or a month, but you have to look at that number as are you having any downtime? If you don't have any downtime, you get to burnout that you don't actually take care of yourself. So they, you know, a lot of the things that they tell you to do are stuff that we tell you to do all the time. But I think it's an interesting way to look at it that, you know, how much of my day am I, you know, not doing work and just avoiding life, but how much of my time am I actually maybe allowing my brain and my body to just rest.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is one of the things that they talked about is cooking. And I find cooking very relaxing. I find the idea of planning the meal. Oh, you do too. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Planning it and shopping and the whole act of cooking it very relaxing. And you would consider that in your 42% because that is something. So it's not that you're doing nothing, that you're sitting in front of your phone or you're just sitting and watching TV. It's you can actually be doing things, but you're putting your body and your mind to rest.
Yeah. So they break it down, right?
Yes, I'm going to give you some of it. But here's, I think, a really, this is so true, which is, have you ever come down with a terrible cold as soon as you finish a huge project?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we all do. We come off of a stressful event or, a stressful work period, and then we get sick. That's kind of because we didn't allow ourselves to actually have an adequate amount of rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so what is that? They say it's a physiological phenomena that impacts every system and function of your body, including your immune system, your digestive functioning, and your hormones.
Yeah.
Makes so much sense to me. Okay, so the first one, very obvious, 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And they say, look, if you only get 6 or you get 7, just try to get 8 the next time. But that it's... you just got to be conscious of it. 20 to 30 minutes of stress reducing conversation. And that could be with somebody you trust. It could be, a partner, just somebody who you find talking to them is very relaxing. I like comedy. I just think if I have a friend that makes me laugh, that's stress reduction to me. 30 minutes of physical activity. And it doesn't have to be really stressful activity. Just be taking a walk. Again, remember it's about resting.
So
30 minutes to paying attention to your food. I thought this was interesting. So actually not watching TV while you're eating.
Yeah.
Not, talking on your phone while you're eating. Actually spending time paying attention to just enjoying your food.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, pick a wild card, 30 minutes of doing whatever it is. For some people, it's a social engagement. For another people, it's physical activity.
Yeah.
And some people, it's cooking. Whatever it is that you find, like I got into crocheting for a while. I should get back. I found that very, very relaxing.
Yeah. I know that also mentioned preparing for sleep. And for some people,
right.
I know either taking a bath or reading. Something,
right?
No screens, or just quietly listening to music. All those things could be part of that 30-minute wild card. I think the thing that's interesting is that part of that 42% of time, or 40%, is that you're not on a screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that must be, because the brain is going to be engaged if you're on a screen. Including, I noticed in the talking about paying attention to food, they said if you're eating and watching TV, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Because and it could be if you're eating and looking at your phone, it doesn't necessarily count.
Mm-hmm.
Because your brain is engaged in some kind of activity that's not rest.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So there's, a comment here, what makes you stronger is rest, which I think is just really... really powerful thing to remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they also say, that many people think, look, I can get by on less. I just can,
Yeah.
I know many people that say that I can get by.
Right.
Well, and they're saying, yeah, you can get by for a while, but it's going to catch up.
Right.
So if if you're on a very stressful project or you're doing something that, you feel you have to give it your all, then just be aware that after that, you're going to have to get back. Rest.
Restore your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The article that I read made a very clear distinction between being exhausted and being burnt out.
Yes.
And said that the difference is with exhaustion, it may be after a long project that you're absolutely exhausted, but you can recoup, with a couple of days of rest, you can get back on your feet. Whereas burnout, it's going to be a much longer process to restore your energy.
Well, don't you think it took longer to get to burnout?
Totally. Yes. And I also think that it's part of the psychological aspect of burnout is that the person feels as if they're failing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a very difficult state of mind. And so being asked to now taper back, usually they've got way too much work on their plate. That's part of the problem, excessive work and limited resources in some way. And so the things we're asking a burnout person to do are hard to do if all you're thinking is, I'm not doing enough, I'm not finishing it up, I can't get ahead here.
Right.
Because we're really saying slow down,
mm-hmm.
put some boundaries around your work and rest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
but again, some of it is just 20, 30 minutes.
No. It's totally palatable. I just think that the challenge is if you're in that state to be willing,
mm-hmm. sure,
to rest.
Yeah.
Because the brain tends to say,
boundaries
keep going.
Is a good word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If someone's correlating rest with weakness or, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, another interesting study is that the lowest level of burnout is actually for parents. And that's because they know where their priorities are. Like the child, the well-being of my child matters more than any job going to be dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so they create natural boundaries, you know, of not working beyond a certain amount of time or of making sure they have time for the family or of turning things off after a certain hour. Though that today, of course, can also be challenging. But just generally speaking, as a population, that those are the individuals who set limits.
Interesting.
Because they have other priorities calling them.
Right. That makes sense.
That's it for this My Crazy Office Overtime. We hope this has been of some service to you. And between now and then, we hope that you are getting 42% rest.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.